Well, obviously, the big story of the day is the tragedy off Christmas Island. 27 asylum seekers confirmed dead, and AM reporting that the toll has now been increased to 28 after that boat was washed into the rocks off Christmas Island yesterday morning. 41 Iranian and Iraqi asylum seekers have been rescued, but up to a dozen remain unaccounted for, and it's believed that up to 80 people were on the boat. The vessel got into trouble in severe weather conditions, floundering in heavy swell off Flying Fish Cove at Christmas Island. A rescue mission was launched with two boats, the HMS Peary and the customs ship ACV Triton, throwing life jackets to people in the water. Well, the incident should never have happened, according to Tony Kevin, author of A Certain Maritime Incident, The Sinking of the Civ X. His book details the sinking of the Civ X in October 2001, when an unseaworthy boat carrying asylum seekers from Indonesia sank, killing 353 people. And he says that the latest sinking must be investigated immediately. Tony Kevin joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Julian.
Tony, you say the tragedy off Christmas Island should never have happened. It's only a day after it happened. Why do you say that, and is it too early to draw conclusions like that?
Unfortunately, not at all. The conclusions are very stark and clear. Let me start with the facts that Australia has a border protection command, which comes under the ministerial responsibility of the Minister for Home Affairs, Brendan O'Connor. The command is run by a Royal Australian Navy Rear Admiral. It's normally a two-year appointment, and it deploys assets owned by Customs and Border Protection and Defence. So it's a joint command, run by Defence. The intelligence on what boats are coming comes mostly from the JAWN radar system, which is a...
That's the long-distance surveillance, is it?
Yes, it is.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yes, it covers all the waters between Australia and Indonesia, and it was Australian designed, it's a brilliant system, many years ago, to detect any incoming vessels and aircraft in those waters. It was originally designed, of course, for defence purposes, but for the last 10 years it's been used extensively for asylum seeker boat detection. This is why every boat is intercepted. Or almost every boat. Regularly, the Minister for Home Affairs puts out media releases saying Border Protection Command intercepts a vessel. It's a very well-tried procedure. Everybody involved knows exactly what to do. The radar tells them where the boats are coming from, and they are normally intercepted as they funnel in towards Christmas Island or towards Ashmore Reef. The reason for this is there's really no need to go hundreds of miles out to sea to intercept them. When you know where they're coming, you just wait for them and pick them up at a safe distance from Christmas Island or Ashmore Reef.
So what do you think went wrong yesterday?
That is a matter that the Minister for Home Affairs should be immediately issuing a statement on, saying that he has called for the most urgent investigation, because a system that works so well should not go wrong in this way. Almost 200 boats have been intercepted since 2007. I'm not going to get into the policy issues of refugee policy, but I'm saying that the Navy and the Border Command understand very well that safety of life at sea is a paramount consideration in the interception of boats.
And no doubt they do. There's obviously a distinction, though, between the ability to track and survey boats and then the ability to actually intervene and rescue them. The pictures and videos from yesterday show that the conditions were absolutely awful off Christmas Island. Isn't this the most obvious reason why it wasn't possible to intervene earlier?
No.
How can
they're
you say
absolutely,
that?
They're absolutely awful conditions when you look at them from the cliffs. Of course, a heavy swell dashing up against cliffs is a spectacular and frightening sight. The ships of Border Command are equipped and their crews are trained to operate in all weather conditions. They're not Sunday excursion sailors. And out at sea, they can pick up and intercept boats in any weather conditions. The question is why a boat was not ordered to sea to pick up this tragic vessel at a safe distance, 12 or 24 nautical miles from Christmas Island, as is the normal practice.
Well, customs have said that the rescue was conducted in extremely difficult and dangerous conditions, and HMS Peary and ACV Triton offered immediate help, they say, and life jackets were thrown to people in the water. Do you think this is an issue of adequacy of resources, or is it something to do with the speed of the response?
I think we need to separate out the undoubted courage and urgency with which people in customs react and Navy reacted once they knew that there was a crisis. Obviously, I wouldn't wish to cast any adverse reflections on anything anyone did at that stage. But the key question remains, why was the boat allowed to get so close to Christmas Island in what were clearly very threatening weather conditions?
You're calling for the incident to be investigated, and no doubt it will be. In your view, who should investigate this incident and what should they be looking at?
I think it's of a magnitude, and given the CIVEC's experience, I'm confirmed in this view. It's of a magnitude that the Minister for Home Affairs, Brendan O'Connor, should immediately take responsibility and say it calls for an independent investigation, which he will commission urgently. To make a hospital pass to the Western Australian coroner is a transparent effort to get over the three-day news cycle. This will all be forgotten in 3 days, and leave it to languish in a coroner's court for 2 years. That is not the appropriate response for a minister who commands an important part of Australia's national security assets.
Well, given the scale, sorry, go on.
And I would like to say that the many decent men and women who work in Border Command would not want anything less. They would want to see these questions cleared up immediately.
What parallels do you see between the CIVEX tragedy of 2001 and this current incident?
In the CIVEX tragedy of 2001, and I followed the Senate investigation extremely closely and subsequently wrote a book on it, it was clear that there were crucial failures in the transmission of information, of intelligence, from one part of the system to another. And there was a certain level of indifference to the safety of asylum seekers at key crucial points in the command chain. There was a sort of a shrugging of the shoulders and a saying, well, it's bad weather, they've probably returned to Indonesia or they probably never set out. And so we had the situation where a boat was actually in trouble and Australian air crews were flying overhead doing routine instrument surveillance, and nobody instructed the crews to look out for the boat, even though there was ample intelligence that there was a high risk of a boat being on the way. So what I found then was that if these situations were allowed to fester for many months, there's a tendency for the system to close ranks and to, frankly speaking, try to cover up uncomfortable truths. That's why I think it's terribly important to get in early, while people are shocked, while people's memories are fresh, and to ask very hard, independent questions as to what went wrong. Why didn't a system that has safely brought in nearly 200 boats fail to bring in this one?
Tony Kevin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Tony Kevin is the author of A Certain Maritime Incident, The Sinking of the CIVEX, reflecting there on the tragic incidents off the coast of Christmas Island overnight. On Radio National Summer Breakfast, it's 21 minutes to 8.